This is episode 51 of the Great Speech Podcast on how to overcome imposter syndrome.
Let's go.
It's a Great Speech Podcast for the public speakers. We're going way down deep to look at what makes a communicator. We'll look at all different topics from the bottom to the top. So get your mind free of all the distractions and please listen up.
It's the Great Speech Podcast.
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 Thanks, Dad. And welcome back. Welcome back, my great communicators. How are you guys doing? I hope you are well. Greetings to you wherever you are listening to this in the world. My name is, of course, Kolairele Shonaike, your communication super skills coach, bringing you another episode of the Great Speech Podcast, where we are focusing on topics and things that will help you become a great communicator. I happen to believe that great communication is what will save the world, what will make your world better. So I'm putting this out to really help us in that regard. As you know, I start every episode with a quote, and given the topic of this episode, my quote is, "You think, why would anyone want to see me again in a movie? And I don't know how to act anyway, so why am I doing this?" And that is by Meryl Streep, basically talking about the fact that despite that she's probably one of the most decorated actors in the world, in history, she still thinks of herself as an imposter. That is what we're going to be covering today, because in this series, this kind of how-to series, I want to focus on the subjects that come up time and time again when I'm engaging with my clients on the things that are obstacles to them becoming great communicators. So, of course, I spend a lot of time showing the skills that you need to become a great communicator, but what I've discovered is that people often have hang-ups and obstacles and things that if they can clear those out of the way, then they can become better communicators. So this how-to series 7, is really all about focusing on those things. So if you have something that you feel is an obstacle to becoming a great communicator, tweet me, message me, or do a review. You know, I give shout-outs to anyone who does a review. Gosh, I don't know how many I've got at the moment, 30 or something. I give shout-outs to anybody who does a review in the following episode after I've read it. So do a review and ask the question that you want, and I'll give you a shout-out. People always wanting to know how to reach me. So you can take a free workshop. That's greatspeech.co/workshop. That is my workshop on the communication super skills you have to develop in order to advance your career. I use LinkedIn mainly as my social media place. So just look for my name and connect with me. You can reach out to me if you actually know that you want to have coaching, you want to start chatting to me to kind of find out more about my programs. Scroll down in the show notes and you'll see the link to do that. And the final one, which is my kind of sponsor for part of this show, is the company that I use for anytime I coach anyone, company called Meet Fox. They've given me a really cool discount plan. So just enter Great Speech when you go to Meet Fox. It's kind of like a Zoom alternative, but it combines your diary and recording the call and all sorts of other things that really just work fantastically for me as a coach and for somebody who has to do a lot of meetings. So have a look at it for yourself. Okay, so that's how you kind of reach out to me if you want to. But really, I know what you came for is not just me. I know you love me, guys. It's not me. It's really more the information that I share. And today we're going to talk about imposter syndrome. And as with these how-to episodes, I'm going to be dividing the episode into what, why, and how. So what is imposter syndrome? Why is it such an issue, so important to overcome it? And then how do you actually go about doing that? So what, why, and how? So let's start with the what. What exactly is imposter syndrome? So I had to do a little bit of research on this in terms of where did this idea come about? And what I discovered is that there's actually a 1978 study by some psychologists named Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imes, I think, or Imes, I-M-E-S. And they're the ones who actually came up with the concept of imposter syndrome, although, of course, it probably dates back thousands of years. People have been feeling that way forever. Their study focused on women in kind of high-achieving roles and their feelings of imposter syndrome. And what is imposter syndrome? So imposter syndrome is basically that feeling that you are a fraud, that you are going to be found out as not worthy of the position or the accolades or the qualifications or the achievements that you have already achieved, that you don't belong where you are and others know more than you, or that you only got here through luck and at some stage you're going to be found out as not knowing what you are doing. If I say these kind of phrases, I'm actually repeating back to you the things that my clients say to me whenever we talk about, you know, your confidence levels and beliefs levels. And it's very much, yeah, you know, I think I'm probably not as good as, you know, people think that I am. I avoid taking opportunities, for instance, for public speaking, because I know that people will find me out as not being very good if I take it. So I'll duck it instead. Those kind of things. Essentially, it's basically that you're not able to internally appreciate the external successes that you have achieved, right? So you are in the position, but you don't believe you deserve it. You do something fantastic, but you think it was just luck, right? You are given accolades and you say, oh, it's because they don't really realize that I don't deserve it or I'm a fake. And it really affects us. There was an interesting book that I came across by Dr. Valerie Young, who described the five main types of imposters in a book that she wrote, The Secret Thoughts of Successful Women, I think it was called. And she talked about the perfectionist, so the person who basically has to be perfect in order to feel kind of ahead of being found out, basically. So they strive for perfection, and unless they're perfect, they think they are no good. There is the natural genius, which is if something doesn't come straight away to you, then you feel like you are a fraud and you feel ashamed and embarrassed in yourself. There's the individualist, which is basically you don't believe in asking others for help, because if you do that, that means that you're admitting that you are a failure. You're admitting you are inadequate. There's the expert who kind of thinks, well, I'm supposed to be the expert, so if I don't have the answers, then there is something wrong with me. Maybe I really don't know what I'm doing. And then there's the superhero, where it's kind of I guess it's probably similar to the perfectionist, but it's you believe that you should be able to achieve almost anything and deal with any problem. And if you don't, then it undermines your own opinion as to your ability and your adequacy. So those are the kind of the five types that Dr. Valerie Young identified. And really, it just means, so you'll probably, if you're listening to this, you'll probably hear yourself in any one of those five areas or in any one of the comments, this kind of the internal commentary that you give to yourself that I mentioned earlier. So it means you start having things like you attribute your success to other factors other than your own ability, or you're down on your own performance, or you push yourself to overachieve. You get the extra qualifications when you already have enough because you think, oh, if I just have that qualification, then people will take me seriously. So these are the kinds of things that kind of exemplify what imposter syndrome really is. So if you recognize them, then chances are you have imposter syndrome as well. Maybe you didn't even realize it. Usually people do realize it and they're worried that other people are going to find them out. So that is the what in terms of imposter syndrome. And it really is something that, so I have it, I have had it, and I, to a large extent, sometimes still suffer from it. Certainly in my early days as a barrister. And when I say early days, I mean for a good number of years. That's what I mean by early. I've been barrister now for 23 years, I think it is. And so I'm talking about, you know, first 10 years. You're wondering, why are people listening to me? What do I know? You know, I've only just done law school. And even then, I didn't get like 100%. So why do they trust me? Right. I felt that as a barrister. Even when I kind of moved into communication skills work, I felt, why should anybody listen to me? What do I know about communication? I'm just a barrister. You're probably going to start to hear the flaws in the imposter syndrome self-talk, but we'll save that for kind of how to overcome it. But it means that we've all suffered from it. So if you recognize any of those thought patterns as applying to yourself, then it means you also have imposter syndrome. So I'm going to help you out because I've kind of really looked at this. I've been forced to look at it both for myself personally and also to help my clients see it as an obstacle that if you clear it out of the way, it's like a handbrake maybe. It's a handbrake holding you back. And if you're able to release the handbrake, then you're going to kind of accelerate away with wheels spinning. Okay, so why? Why does imposter syndrome matter? Or at least why is it important to overcome it? Well, it's simply this. It is like the handbrake that is holding you back from accelerating, especially in regards to your career achievements. Because imposter syndrome basically makes you psychologically defeated. It makes you believe that you are not good enough. And when you believe that that's what you are, you will play down to it. You will stop yourself taking opportunities that you rightfully should take and are more than capable of rising to. It will mean that you allow people to pigeonhole you into places or into circumstances or their opinion of you. You allow people to paint you in a way that you are not. Because you believe, well, that's really the truth anyway. That's the truth anyway. And imposter syndrome is really common. So it's the reports, there's been a few studies, but the most common studies or the most common figure that the various studies have settled on is that 70% of all people think or have imposter syndrome to an extent. 70%. And so it makes you underperform and it stops you going for what you want and what you deserve and what is well within your capability. It means you underutilize your own talents. And that can, especially from a career development point of view, that can really have a massively inhibiting effect on your career and overall career achievement. Even if it just holds you back by 5%. If you put that in salary terms, right? If you had 5% less money or less salary every year, that by the end of your career or midway through your career is going to be a lot of money that you've lost out on, right? So if you have 5% less progress in your career because of imposter syndrome, that is actually going to mount up to a pretty big impact. So I think imposter syndrome is a bad thing because it actually makes the world worse because instead of people being able to fulfill their abilities and talents, they are underperforming and underutilized. But that gap doesn't exist, right? So it tends to be filled by less people who are actually less qualified and actually less able and actually less able to fulfill with those capabilities. It's one of the reasons why women in particular and people of color in particular, or minorities, I'll say, rather than the mainstream, because obviously it can apply in all environments. So we'll say minorities and women and minorities very often end up not getting the positions, not getting the roles, being overlooked because of imposter syndrome. Now, that imposter syndrome can be caused by you honestly believing that of yourself, or it can be imposed externally by the undervaluing of society or the environment that you're in of your own abilities. So a classic example is I do a lot of work with Black executives who often do not get the opportunities and the promotions that they are fully deserving of because the environment, the corporate environment in which they work, doesn't understand and doesn't appreciate their abilities and talents. So imposter syndrome is real. It applies everywhere, in all cultures, with all people. It's not just minorities. It's not just women or men of a certain level, whatever it is. It applies to everyone everywhere, as we will go on to see. But it really is something serious to overcome because it really has a negative, depressing impact on your life specifically and the world as well, because we really should want people who are rising to the kind of heights of their abilities. Okay, so that is the why. So we've done the what and we've done the why. Now let's talk about the stuff that I know you really came here for, which is the how. How to overcome imposter syndrome. So I'm going to give you five tips or approaches or steps, however you want to call them, to overcoming imposter syndrome. As you know, I do these in one take, so I leave in stuff like that. Everybody else takes it out, but I think, you guys want to hear how it really goes down. So number one of the steps of how to overcome imposter syndrome is ask yourself this question. Am I actually an imposter? Am I actually an imposter? I really want you to ask yourselves that question because I actually know what the answer is going to be, but it's more important that you know the answer because imposter syndrome is something that you feel right internally for whatever reason, whether it's your little life that's how that's gone and things that have happened to you, or it's externally pushed on you, or it's self-esteem issues, whatever the reasons that you've developed imposter syndrome are. Overcoming them actually starts with asking this first question. Are you actually an imposter? And it's actually the thing that I always ask my clients when this issue gets raised is, okay, well, hold on, let me ask you this. Have you actually ever been found out? Right? You know, you go through life saying, oh, they're going to realize I'm a fraud. It's all going to come crashing down. Question is this, have you actually ever been found out? And the answer always is no. No. If you look through your life and what's happened, you should start to be able to ask yourself, well, hold on, am I actually an imposter? You know, and another way to think about it is to say to yourself, no, I can't be an imposter because, and then list all the reasons that prove you're not an imposter, right? I can't be an imposter because I've been working here for 10 years. If I was an imposter, they'd found me out by now, right? Or I can't be an imposter because I have all these qualifications. If I was an imposter, I would have none of these qualifications at all, right? So say the things to yourself or ask yourself questions and assume that you are not, and then look for the reasons that prove that assumption, right? So instead of assuming that you are, you want to assume that you're not an imposter, and you will start to see and find the things that actually prove that really you're not an imposter at all. One of the things I get my clients to do is to list what I call your greatest hits. So it's literally writing down, so not just thinking about it and then forgetting, but writing it down, the things in your life that you have achieved that of which you are the most proud. List out the things in your life that you have achieved of which you are the most proud. Get up at least to 10, but you want more if possible. Doesn't matter what it is, doesn't have to be career or only career, but the things you are most proud, because what that starts to do is to visually give you a representation of why you are, a representation proof of why you are not an imposter. Because if you were, you wouldn't have achieved all these things, right? And write it down. It's the same principle of you know, if you have kids, why you get them to put out their medals and their certificates so that they are constantly reinforced by their own past achievements, which helps them believe in their own ability, which stops and eliminates imposter syndrome, right? And then look at other pieces of evidence. Like if you've had great appraisals all this time, save them, right? So that you say, no, wait, I'm not an imposter. Look at the appraisal I got from my boss who I really respect, that he or she knows what he's doing, you know, what she's doing, right? Save the emails that say, hey, job well done, or thanks from a client, whatever it is. Do those things. So the first question is, am I actually an imposter? Because if you're not, end of story, right? It just means you don't have it at all, right? So you show to yourself that you do know what you're doing, and there's no need to think that you are an imposter. And another way to think about it is, don't measure the gap between where you are and where you want to be, right? Because if you have even 10% ambition within you, right? If the scale is everything from 0 to 100% and you only have 10%, that by definition means that you will not quite be or have achieved or have done everything that it is you want to do or achieve or kind of reach up to, right? So there'll always be a gap. Don't measure the gap between where you are and where you want to be, because then you'll always feel like you're coming up short. Measure the gap between where you were and where you are now, because then you'll always see that you've achieved a lot. Okay? It's one of the things I talk to. So my wife has to give a lot of talks because in her business, she's kind of a leading African textiles company, or her company is, that she founded and runs. But often when she's called to speak on panels, she's like, oh, there's going to be this person there. They're really big in this field and that field. And my goodness, you know, what about me? And I'll always ask is, okay, so in the world, who's a better or more knowledgeable person on African aesthetics and textiles? And she's like, oh, yeah, actually, yeah, maybe you're right. I'm like, yeah, I know I'm right, right? You are brilliant at what you do. Don't undervalue yourself. So the first thing is to ask yourself, am I really an imposter? And the answer to that question, I will guarantee you, is that you are not, right? Guarantee you that you are not an imposter. The next question to ask yourself is this, and it's not a question, it's a thing to think about. Remember, 70, and in fact, some of the studies put it up to, right, 82%. 82% of people think they're imposters. So actually, if you think about it, if everyone is an imposter, then no one's an imposter. Right. If everyone is an imposter, no one is an imposter. Because let me give you a list of quotes and that will start to give you an idea of, wait, hold on, who exactly is an imposter? Here's a quote. The exaggerated esteem in which my life work is held makes me feel very ill at ease. I feel compelled to think of myself as an involuntary swindler. Albert Einstein. Let's give another one. I've written 11 books, but each time I think, uh-oh, they're going to find out now. Maya Angelou. I'm always looking over my shoulder, wondering if I measure up. Sonia Sotomayor, who is a Supreme Court Justice in the United States. No matter what we've done, there comes a point where you think, how did I get here? When are they going to discover that I am, in fact, a fraud and take everything away from me? Actor Tom Hanks. Give you two more. Very few people, whether you've been in that job before or not, get into the seat and believe today that they are now qualified to be the CEO. They're not going to tell you that, but it's true. That's Howard Schultz, creator of Starbucks. Final one, I still have a little imposter syndrome. It doesn't go away. That feeling that you shouldn't take me seriously, what do I know? I share that with you because we all have doubts in our abilities about our power and what that power is. Michelle Obama. Everybody at every level has imposter syndrome, right? Beyonce created you think about Beyonce, right? You think about this fierce, strong, incredibly world-beating talent. And she created the character Sasha Fierce as a kind of an alter ego that she's going to project herself into, or the person she wanted to be, because she had imposter syndrome. If everybody is an imposter, no one is an imposter. So think about it this way. If you're an imposter, then everyone else is, which means no one is, which means you're in good company. So don't worry about it. The feeling that you have is the same feeling that everybody else has. And if you don't believe me, I want you to think about the most senior person that you know in your life that you respect, that you can kind of have a conversation with. So think whoever that is, the most senior person that you respect, that you kind of have enough of a relationship to pick their brains, right? I want you to go up to that senior person and ask themselves that question. Listen, do you have imposter syndrome sometimes? Or do you sometimes feel that? Or have you felt that in your life? Or, you know, I'm sometimes wondering, am I good enough for this job? What's your perspective? And I will guarantee you that that person, whoever they are, will tell you, yes, I also have it, or I've had it and I still have it and I'll never lose it. I also feel like I'm an imposter. It's kind of like, I guess it's, you know, those prison movies where you go to the biggest guy that you can see and you take him out, and that kind of establishes you as you know, the head dog or whatever it is. Do that, because the minute you hear that the most senior, most impressive person you know also has imposter syndrome, it will stop you worrying about having it yourself. In fact, as you'll see with principle number three, I think, in fact, it's a bit of a superhero trait to have. Because number three is to say to yourself this, okay, I am an imposter, so what? Right? I am an imposter, so what? Because if you think about it, all those people that I just listed, Michelle Obama, Tom Hanks, Albert Einstein, Howard Schultz, Sonia Sotomayor, Beyonce, they all had imposter syndrome. And look at what they have achieved. So if you're an imposter like them, so what? Use it, right? Use it to propel you forward. You know, because if you think about it, so Einstein used to say, it's not that I'm so smart, it's just that I stay with problems longer. He used it. He's like, yeah, I'm an imposter, so what? I'm going to use it. I'm going to benefit from it. In fact, because I felt, when I was kind of starting my communication skills coaching, you know, why should anybody listen to me? I wrote a book called How to Give a Great Speech, because I wanted a kind of a stamp of authority out there that I could say to people, oh, I'm an author, I'm a published author. That will give me the stamp of credibility. So on the one hand, that was my imposter syndrome speaking, requiring me to do something extra, like an extra skill or qualification, right? But on the other hand, it meant I wrote a freaking book. Fantastic. I used it. Even as a barrister, when I felt, gosh, I'm going to be out of my depth, it actually spurred me on to just work damn hard, so that when I went into court, I actually ended up realizing that because I put in much more work than everybody else, I actually knew more than everybody else on the particular topic or the case or whatever it is. Use it as fuel to do the work to be outstanding at your job. So imposter, yeah, I'm an imposter. So what? It means I'm working harder than everybody else and I'm better than everybody else at this thing. And that is going to win out, right? So use it. Use it. Principle number four. In the interim, whilst you feel like an imposter, fake it until you make it. Right? Fake it until you make it. But I'm going to give you a specific way to approach it. And it kind of, again, using the Beyonce model, create an alter ego into who you project your best self. And then every day wake up and just be that alter ego. So you feel, oh, it's not really me, it's just my alter ego. Fine, do that. Right? It's Beyonce being Sasha Fierce, so she can go out on stage and kind of do the amazing performance, give the amazing performance that she gives. So create an alter ego for yourself. Give it a name, that alter ego a name, right? Doesn't matter what that name is, but give it a name that's really cool, that's personal to you. And then every day wake up and say, right, I'm going to be that alter ego. It could help to maybe have something that represents that to remind you, right? It could be your lipstick, right? Whenever I wear the purple lipstick shade, I don't know, right? I'm being that alter ego. It could be glasses, could be your blue shirt, could be you put a handkerchief in your pocket, and you know, every time you put your hand into your pocket, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, no, I'm the alter ego. I'm going to be that way. Fake it until you make it. Because if you think about it, right, you haven't been found out yet. So you probably have quite a bit of time before you do get found out. So fake it in that time, right? Just keep faking it. And what will happen, and the reason alter egos are really useful, is that after a while, your brain basically doesn't realize the difference between fake, imagined, and real. The neural pathways pretty much run the same way, whether something's real and something's imagined. So after a while, you would just start to become that alter ego, and that will naturally be who you are. That's my computer. And the thing about alter egos is they're not different people. They are actually just the other side of you. They're actually the side of you without the imposter syndrome. So just live it. And when I say that your brain really just, basically whatever is actually fake, your brain kind of after a while just says, no, this is real. There's a really great study done in a different field. It's actually on the principle of privilege. And they got some people in to play a game of Monopoly that was rigged. So you would flick a coin, and depending on whether you got heads or tails or whatever it is, you would either be the kind of rich player or the poor player. So the rich players would get kind of extra rolls. When they pass go, they would get £200 or $200 instead of $100, you know, that kind of thing. And they get double rent and things like that, right? So it was completely rigged in their favor. And the only thing that determined whether you succeeded or not was basically when you flipped the coin, did you guess the right way? But afterwards, they would ask people who had played the game, why did they think they won? And every single one of them attributed their success to in some way to their own talent and their ability and their own brilliance. None of them kind of identified with, yeah, I got lucky, right? I was chosen as the rich player. That's why I won, right? Because our brains, even if we know in the back of our minds that something isn't true, if you kind of say it to yourself, no, actually, this is why, you start to believe it. So fake it till you make it, and then make it, right? Because the final step, number five, is do the work to develop yourself, right? So whilst you're faking it, whilst you're like, oh, no, really, I am an imposter. They're going to find me out, but I've got a bit of time. Develop yourself, get coaching, especially if your communication skills is one of your weaknesses. I know a good coach. If you want, reach out to me. I'll let you know who that is. Develop yourself. You know, so for instance, the definition of an expert, right? This is the actual legal definition of an expert, is just someone who through their skills, study, qualifications, knowledge, or experience knows more than the other people around them on a particular subject. Right. And in fact, sometimes not even knows more than the other people around them, knows more than the average person or the layman, they call them. Which means it doesn't actually take that much for you to become an expert. So you do have the opportunity to just develop yourself. So put the work in. Figure out what those deficiencies that you believe are and start working on them. Start changing things. Do the actual work. You know, if you want to learn to swim, you're not going to learn to swim from reading your book. You have to get into the water, sink a little bit, and figure it out, right? That's, you want to ride a bike. You don't teach a kid how to ride a bike by, you know, using a PowerPoint presentation. You get them onto the bike and say, start pedaling, and then you're holding for a little while and pushing along, right? You have to actually get in the field and do it. So do the work. One of my favorite books, recommendations at the moment, is called Atomic Habits, which basically just shows how you can have extraordinary advances and improvements by making tiny little adjustments on a consistent basis. So adjustments that are easy to make, or steps that are easy to take because they're really small, they're atomic. But getting into a habit of doing them makes you better much more effectively over time. But I highly recommend it as a book, Atomic Habits. I think I'll put a link into the show notes. So scroll down. And I want you to think of it that way. Don't stay in your comfort zone, right? Because the comfort zone is a wonderful place, but nothing ever grows there. So instead of ducking that presentation that you have to give, go for that presentation and really put your effort into making it the best ever. right? So 5-minute presentation, you did 50 hours of work to be ready. Do it for that one and then do less and less and less until you feel natural, right? Do the work. Surround yourself with people that are better than you, right? If you feel like an imposter, that should mean that you are in an environment where you think everybody else isn't, right? Surround yourself with those people and cherish it. You know, they say that you're the average of the 6 people you spend the most time with. So if you want to be a millionaire, hang out with other millionaires, right? Improve yourself by immersing yourself in an environment where other people around you are going to impact on you. And you're going to kind of learn through osmosis. Just by being in their presence, you're going to start thinking and talking in a way that gets you better. Because you are committed to self-improvement. You're committed to doing the work to put in place the things that are going to help you basically realize that you are not actually an imposter. And that by the time anybody actually tries to pay attention, you know, the thing you've most been worried about, you're going to take that time to actually be so good that when they start paying attention to you, they say, no, of course he's not an imposter. Of course she's not an imposter. Look at all the things that she has done and she achieved and all the things that he or she is capable of. So those are my 5 steps to overcoming imposter syndrome. What do you guys think? I always, always love hearing from you, whether it's agreeing, whether it's disagreeing, whether it's having different perspective, having a better perspective, whatever it is, love hearing from you guys. And as always, I hope this has been useful because, as I say, my mission is to help everybody become a better communicator. And this series is dedicated to focusing on the obstacles that kind of get in the way, the things surrounding our communication skills, that if we can clear them out or get on top of them, will help us be better communicators overall. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I leave you as always with goodbye in a different language. At the time of recording this, unfortunately, we are in the middle of the war in the Ukraine. So in honor to all Ukrainians in the world, well, I say in honor, probably going to butcher this as always. Dobrobachenya is goodbye in Ukrainian, apparently. Dobrobachenya. So I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. I look forward to seeing you on the next time. Which would be another topic related to communication, but not exactly communication skills itself. Look forward to seeing you. Tongue-tied now. Look forward to speaking with you guys then.